Exodus, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse. Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Y'all picking up y'all Bibles, I just want y'all to meditate on who he is. He said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." Does anybody need God to be anything to them today? Y'all can keep playing that song. I'm sorry to confuse y'all, but I'm still stuck at I am. That I am. Whatever you need him to be, he is. Does anybody need him to be a healer? He said, "I am a healer." Does anybody need him to be a doctor? He said, "I am." Go ahead and sing it.
The greater you are. You are.
The great I am.
Some of our old folks didn't know that, but they did know that he is, and that he says that he is the I am, and they knew it because of this. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Hallelujah. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, one more time. Sing it before him. He is the Lord. Oh, he's the great I am. He is Lord. Hallelujah. He has risen. He has risen from the dead. And he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you for being Lord in this place. We thank you for being our Savior. We thank you for being everything to us. God, we thank you that you are our everything. Without you, we would not be here. We would be crazy and out of our minds without you. We would be sick and in the hospital bed without you. We would be running on the memorial screen without you, God, because we would be 6 feet under, God. But God, because you are, we are, God, and we say thank you. Thank you, God, for who you are. God, we just want to recognize you for being God. For being El Shaddai, God. We thank you for being everywhere at the same time, omniscient, omnipresent, and all knowing. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you for who you are. More than we thank you for what you've done, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for who you are. Some of us have needed you to be a father in this time. God, we thank you. Some of us have needed you to be a mother, and we thank you, God, for doing that for us. God, we've needed you to be a friend, and we thank you for being a friend. We've needed you to be a comforter. We thank you for being a comforter. We've needed you to be a provider, and we thank you for being a provider. Sometimes we start off our prayers just asking you for something. God, we take time right now just to say thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, as we walk out of this prayer and God, never from your presence, we thank you for all that has been said and done. God, we thank you for the melodious songs that have been sung that have touched us deep in our spirit, God, for the dances that have been danced before you, God. Now we are about to eat at your table. Would you please, God, minister a word unto us that would change us from the inside out and the outside in, God. We thank you in advance for salvation for somebody in here. We thank you for deliverance for somebody in here. We thank you for a closer walk with thee for somebody in here. It's in Jesus' name we pray and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. You may take your seats if you can. It is a pleasure to be back at home. Amen.
I just hung out with y'all. We just hung out, like, not too long ago. That women's retreat was amazing. Amazing. It was God. God really moved in such a special way. Every song, every speaker, every workshop facilitator, it was just incredible. And so I thank God to be back with you on this Women's Day. Hey, women, how y'all doing? Give me one of these. I used to do this a lot. Give me a hootie-hoo. Oh, shucks, the women are in the house. Hey, brothers, how y'all doing?
Say hey. Okay, I hate.
I thank God for all of you all. Would you help me thank God for my friends in the gospel and here on earth, my real friends, Pastor Armstrong and his wife, First Lady Armstrong. Come on, help me give them honor. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you both. I thank God for them. First Lady said, can I just be Melly? Can I just? I thank God for you all. Thank God for my husband in his absence. He is taking care of our babies. Amen. And I thank God for my sister who has traveled with me, Bathsheba. Y'all help me thank God for her because she's going to drive home. Give her a good God bless you. Pray for her real strong. So that God blesses her on the road. Amen. I thank God for this women's ministry. I don't know if you all really appreciate how awesome and incredible the women's ministry is here at Shiloh. Help me thank God for every leader, Sister Betty, Sister Bonnie, just everybody who plays any part in the women's ministry. I thank God for all of you all, for it allows us to be here. I don't know about you, but I'm still on fire. I am. I'm still on fire. And just the idea of what God has already done is enough for me. If he never does another thing, it's enough for me. I wanted to go ahead in the word because, I usually take about 5 hours. And then it's usually about five. Y'all can tell the truth. It's usually about 5 hours. She's saying, yeah, it's true. And so I want to get in the word, and I want to have God have his way. Amen. Amen. If you will go with me to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. And if you don't have it, I will read it for your hearing. And as is your custom, you can stand for the reading of God's word. And we're going to start down at the 37th verse. Romans 8, all the way down to 37. And I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. Probably read a couple. Yep, we going there. Verse 37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, thank you, Jesus, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Anybody love the word of God? Amen. Amen. Now listen, already, just really early, we're going to go to school and we're going to learn a word we may not know, okay? And by the end of it, I promise you, you're going to be walking around the hall saying it, okay? But right now, we're going to learn a word that we don't know. I want you to repeat after me. Hooper. Nikayo. Hooper. Nikayo. Now we're going to put it together. Hooper Nikayo. Now look at somebody and tell them, I am Hooper Nikayo. Yeah, you sound crazy, don't you? Have a seat. I am Hooper Nikayo. You feel like saying it again? Say Hoopa Nikayo. Hoopa Nikayo. Y'all gonna be all right after a while. That is a word. I am not making up a word. It is a word. I founded an organization called Real Women almost 2 years ago. because God had recently brought me back to one of my first ministry loves, which was women's ministry. Real women exist to create safe spaces for women to do real work on themselves. Every month, dozens of women come together to share their experiences, to comfort and support one another, to connect with other women on a deeper level. And my vision is to very soon have this happening all across the country. We're already starting a Real Women on the Road. Amen. It is an amazingly beautiful thing to watch as women who previously did not want to befriend other women, because women are really hard to get along with. Men, you think women are hard to get along with. We also think women are hard to get along with, and we the women, somebody say amen. Watching these women begin to open up and make real and authentic connections with women that they had never met before that day. At the last Real Women I hosted this past month, I prayed, as I always do, that women would show up ready to be real and connect with other women. Well, one of the first guests to arrive was a woman I'd never personally met before, but she'd heard me speak at a church a couple of weeks before, and I'm sure she was expecting me to do in my home for Real Women exactly what I had done at her church. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Because she came in ready. I mean, she had not sat down 5 minutes before we actually started when I overheard her prophesying over someone and declaring victory over their relationship situation. My God. And then we started. Once we started, she notified us that Savior, because that's what she calls them, Savior was allowing her to see all of us in the spirit, and that there was a turnaround in store for all of us. When one of our regular attendees shared that she was struggling with loneliness and waiting on God to send her a companion, this woman quickly shared how she was too single, and that was that she was still boldly standing on the promises of God, even in her singleness, and it was no longer difficult for her, and all the other young lady had to do was have faith and trust in God, and then you too can have what I have. Later, I gave the women I am statements to share, and I encouraged them to be honest about how they felt in their current state. Well, before anyone could share theirs, she interrupted to say that if anyone had any negative I am statements written down, they should change them right now, because that is not what Savior, because that's what she called him, that is not what Savior would want for them. And that even if they didn't feel beautiful or valuable, they should still declare, I'm beautiful and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, until they actually believed it. Well, she also, bless her heart, the last straw was when a few of the women shared that they were on medication for things like depression and mental illness, and she interrupted to share that medication for mental illness was not what Savior, because that's what she called him, was not what Savior wanted for them. Now, I need to say that I have nothing against the prophetic or decreeing and declaring a thing, because God uses me in that as well. And I do believe in scriptural and positive affirmations that we should speak over ourselves, even when we feel like we're not quite there yet. Y'all with me? We should do that. But listen, I'm very protective of the women who attend my sessions every week and pour out their hearts, because the setting that I've cultivated at Real Women is that we can simply come as women, sharing our stories and our struggles and our successes. And although we do a lot of praying and crying and sharing from the Word of God, no one really ever takes a text and gives a sermon and hoops and casts out demons or prophesies. And nobody really ever does, because we get that in church. What we really needed was a real place to share our real issues. And no one ever condemns another woman's walk or way of coping with life in our circle. And the last thing I was going to condone was someone insisting that anybody get off of any medication that was keeping them sane and functioning, especially while they were in my house. Praise the Lord. unless God himself confirmed that prophetic word, he would have to come down again in the flesh. So I stopped her and I openly shared that this was a safe place for all of us to share our real feelings about what we're facing in life so that we can get them out of us and make some room for God to fill us with something greater. Y'all with me? But that could not happen until we first made room for it. I also shared that until we are support, and y'all can feel how y'all want about this, but I'm just gonna share mine. Until we are supportive of no medication for headaches and colds and the flu and appendicitis and surgeries and cancer, we shouldn't be advocating no medication for mental illness in this setting, because that's what's wrong with some of our folks now. They need to be on some medication, and there's such a negative stigma attached to mental illness that we won't get the help that we need because we believe we're supposed to just pray it away. The devil is a deceiver. Mental illness is a real medical issue, and for some it needs to be treated with medication. I know this don't sound like a sermon yet, but it will. For the rest of the gathering, she sat humbled and quiet, bless her heart, and listening. Yes, she sat listening. At the end, she hugged and thanked me and reassured me that she would be back again because she learned something that day. She learned that I need to share that this woman was so sweet and friendly. So I'm sure she meant no harm. She was just doing what she knew to do and what she had previously been allowed to do. But in the days following that gathering, I couldn't stop thinking about her and the way she felt compelled to dismiss and cover every real and authentic feeling that anyone shared with a quick prophetic declaration. I was certain that even though she never let on in front of us that day, that she probably spends some time, because God allows me to see some stuff too, amen, spend some time by herself weeping and distraught regarding her own life. But in the light of day, her motto seemed to be, never let them see you sweat or cry, because she wanted to look like she had it all together and that she had an answer to everything that was happening in her life and every woman's life. It made me wonder how many of us live two lives, publicly declaring victory over our lives and everyone around us, but privately feeling defeated and broken. Publicly brushing over hurt and anger and depression by simply praying a powerful prayer or laying on hands, and privately still not fully believing that God can do for the prayer what the prayer declared over the prayee. I'm not saying this dichotomy exists in the life of every believer, because I do believe that there are those of us who are balanced in life, and what we believe and declare and portray publicly is exactly what we believe and declare and experience privately. But I know it's possible to proclaim victory publicly and still feel defeated privately. You know why? Because I did it for years. Throughout my life, until just a few years ago, in fact, I lived two different lives in one way or another. As a teenager and a young adult, I lived the life that, like the perfect Christian, the overachiever for my parents and my family members and my church. But privately, I wrestled with low self-esteem and bad relationship choices. Y'all gonna leave me hanging by myself, okay? I got y'all. I got your number. Coming down your street. As an adult, I spent my Sundays in the pulpit singing and teaching and preaching about the miraculous power of God, but spent my nights crying, trying to figure out if that same miraculous power was available to me, even me. I tried to publicly live and proclaim that I am too blessed to be stressed, when on the inside and in my quiet time, I knew stress was making me physically, emotionally, and spiritually sick. Because you know, if you don't get that stuff out of you, it can turn into something physical. That's why women have fibroids and all this other stuff and tumors and ulcers. It can turn into something if you don't deal with it. So as a result, church became more about doing church work than about getting closer to God. it became more about playing the part of the victorious woman of God than actually digging deep enough to become the true woman of God that I could be. But because I knew what to say, and I knew when to say it, and I knew how to say it, no one detected that the one declaring the healing also needed a healing. The one declaring victory also needed to experience victory for herself. I feel my help coming on. Has anybody ever been here? You know you are supposed to be the head, but you still feel like the tail. Anybody felt like, oh, y'all don't want to tell, y'all felt like the tail. You know you are supposed to be above, but you still felt beneath. You know you're supposed to be an overcomer, but instead you feel overcome with worry and fear and doubt and sin and grief. And instead of coming to the one place where you're supposed to be able to get help and healing by pouring out your heart and confessing your feelings to get free, you end up having to wear this church fake face, smiling through suicidal thoughts and shouting over the broken pieces of your life as if they didn't even exist, and praising to cover up the very real pain that you feel in your body, in your mind, and in your spirit. And instead of leaving the church, which is supposed to be a hospital, cured and well and whole, we leave looking like we've been treated on the outside, but still sick as sin on the inside. We walk away from God's house with only band-aids and bandages to cover broken bones and sin-sick hearts that really needed surgery instead of a band-aid. There's supposed to be real healing at the church house, but some of us are so used to the game that is played at church that we would much rather go through the motions than have the real healing take place. There's supposed to be a balm in Gilead, but no one seems to have the recipe anymore. Instead, we seem to have carbon copies of the balm. It's like the generic version of the balm available at a much more expensive price. Because while we're busy playing church, young men are dying in the streets. While we're busy acting like we have it all together, folks are dying on planes, trains, and automobiles, not truly knowing the God of our salvation. While we're busy laying hands on each other over and over, same people over and over again, for the power to speak in tongues and prophesy over big homes and big cars over our lives, people are dealing with real poverty and real marriage issues, facing real divorce and real unemployment and real domestic violence and real drugs and alcohol. How can the hospital help heal the sick when the hospital won't even accurately diagnose the problem? I came to have church this morning. You ought to be grateful that you're in a house that preaches the unadulterated gospel. So as you can tell, I'm a bit frustrated today. I'd like to call it a righteous indignation. I'm bothered that we claim to be victorious when we don't even seem to understand what the battle truly looks like. I'm concerned that we claim to be conquerors when we have not actually stopped to understand what it means to be a conqueror. Because yes, according to God's word, we already win. Anybody know that you read the end of the book and you already win? Anybody got the victory already? The battle is already won and we are overcomers. But if we don't understand how to truly walk out that victory, we will end up sounding like empty, crazy religious freaks with no real power to back us up. We will be like those Jewish priests in Acts 19 trying to exorcise demons out of the people in the name of Jesus, in whom Paul preaches about. And the demons will answer back, Jesus and Paul, I know, but who are you? And they will turn on you and drive you insane. So I need us to understand what it truly means to be a conqueror. So we don't just play the part, but we will live it, and we'll be able to help others live it around us as well. And the good news is that the Word of God supplies us with the help that we need on this. In fact, the entire letter of Romans is Paul's effort to help Christians better understand the salvation walk and this Christ they have now received. It is not enough to be saved or to be victorious or to be a conqueror. We need to understand how and why we are conquerors. Otherwise, our proclamations appear empty and powerless. So I want to walk us through some of Romans 8. I read to you our key scriptures, but to make those more powerful, we need to talk about some of the other verses first. I believe that many of us who claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior like to stand on the beginning and the end of a thing. You know, we like the beginning, the newness of a thing, and then we focus on the promise and the end of a thing, and we avoid the messiness in the middle. Mm-hmm. But the messiness in the middle is what God calls us to walk out. In the beginning of Romans 8, Paul declares that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's good news. Verses 1 through 13 clearly lay out that those who have the Spirit of Christ live by the Spirit, and they live, indeed they live, and those who live according to the flesh will die. They can die a spiritual death and not go to heaven if they don't accept Christ, but they can also die a figurative death on earth and not live a victorious life while here on earth. All of that seems so cut and dry and clear. Simply just do it. Live by the Spirit. Just live by the Spirit and live, or according to the flesh and die. And then all the way at the end, which I read to you, verses 37 through 39 are not much better, because by the end of the chapter, we already have the victory. We have already won, and nothing can defeat us. Y'all read that, right? Nothing can separate us. We're already more than conquerors. But how did we get there? What are the steps that we mentally and practically take so that we can live by the Spirit and actually be more than conquerors instead of just saying that we are? Well, for me, the answer is in the middle. In order to get from where we are to where we want to be, we've got to go through the middle passage. And I believe by walking through the messiness in the middle, we can better understand what it means to be a conqueror. You should first know that it will be a bit messier than you expect, because the word conqueror means to carry off the victory from a battle. The word conqueror means to carry off the victory from a battle. In fact, the Greek word for conquer is nikaio. Say nikaio. Nikaio. So when you are a conqueror, it implies that you have gone through a battle to the point where you have the victory. That's when you're a conqueror. This is where we get the name brand Nike from. It is steeped in Greek mythology, where a Greek god of that name would fly around and grant victory and favor to some on the battlefield who were giving it their all. That's Nike. My name, Nikki. Y'all call me Nikki here. My family and friends call me Nikki. Y'all home to me now. Nikki, Nicole, other forms of Nicole and Nicholas all come from Nikaio. Nicole literally means victory of the people, but it all stems from a battle being fought before the victory is won. Hence the messiness in the middle. I would like to suggest to you that in order to experience the full meaning of Nikaio, somebody say Nikaio. Nikaio, or conquering in our lives, we must first do two very important things, and both of those things can be found right in the middle of Romans 8. If you look at Romans 8, verses 14 through 17, anybody bored yet? All right, all right. Just checking, just checking. Verses 14 through 17. It reads as thus, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Y'all didn't read that, what I read. If we want to be conquerors, we need to the first do is to confess. Confess. If you want to be a conqueror, you got to confess. Those who are led by the Spirit of God and live by the Spirit live in a state of perpetual confession and transparency. If you are truly a conqueror, you are constantly bearing witness to who you are and who God is in you. Look at the scripture. When you are led by God, you are willing to confess that you were a helpless orphan adopted child of God. You didn't do anything to earn the heirship that you have. You don't smell that good, baby. You don't look that good. You don't earn that much money. You did not earn your way to being an heir of God, but by the grace and the mercy of God, did he take on my wretched soul, and did he take on your sin-sick soul? You were adopted. You were an orphan, but he looked at you in your mess, in a pool of your own blood, and he did not keep walking away from you, but he stopped and he picked you up, and he turned you around, and he placed your feet on solid ground. Somebody ought to confess that I'm grateful. Hey, you're the boss, shot my feet. Woo! I don't need that. And that as God the Father, you often go to him as a child goes to his daddy. It's confession time. These are my confessions. You come broken and bruised and crying and hurt. And just as a daddy would, he helps you and he comforts you. And you confess that just as a child, you mess up sometimes. You don't get it all right. You don't dot all your I's and cross all your T's. Truth be told, sometimes you don't even know how to spell the word right. But he comes to you as a father would to discipline you and to correct you by the hand of a caring, loving father. Conquerors confess who they are, yes, but they confess who they are, but you're used to doing that. You know how we usually confess who we are in Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a friend of God. I'm the branch of the true vine. I'm justified and redeemed. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm free from condemnation. I am set free from the law of sin and death. I'm a fellow heir with Christ. Y'all can go with me. It's still right. I am accepted by Christ. I am a temple of the Most High. I am triumphant because of Christ Jesus. I am a new creature in Christ. I am the righteousness of God. I am free in Christ. I'm blessed. I'm chosen. I'm forgiven. I'm alive in Christ. I'm God's workmanship. I'm a member of Christ's body. I'm a partaker of the promise. I am a light that can't be hidden. I'm a salt of the earth. I am a citizen of heaven. I am provided for. I am guarded by the peace of God. I am complete in Christ. I'm raised up to victory with Christ. I'm loved. I'm chosen. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a conqueror. Anybody a conqueror in here? Somebody said Nikhail. Nikhail. Yeah, I'm more than a conqueror, Nikhail. But we will do that quick, fast, and in a hurry and jump on the bandwagon. But we also need to confess what we are not. Hello, somebody. When it's time to be honest and transparent, can you be as happy and excited as that? Don't tell me how healed you are if you're not willing to tell me about how you were first sick. Because I do know that if you were healed, you had to be healed from something. So you might as well tell me what you were healed from. Don't tell me how whole you are if you're not willing to share some of your brokenness. Because when I look at you, baby, I see some pieces glued on. I see some pieces taped on. So I know you won't hold always. You got a few skeletons still back there in that closet. Because you're walking with a limp. I think you missed a bone and you missed a muscle. Don't tell me how blessed you are if you're not willing to tell me about your bouts with depression, about your bouts with anger, about your bouts with suicidal thoughts, because you lead me to believe that you ain't never been through nothing, that you ain't never gone through nothing. If you're gonna confess who you are in Christ, then give me the whole story. And give me the truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, you say I can't handle the truth. I bet you I could if you told me, because I got my own story. And as soon as you tell me your story, it frees me up just a little bit to tell you my story. I want you to know. I want to know about how you used to smoke weed, how you used to drink every day to relax and take the edge off. But that turned into a gateway for addiction and drunkenness and other drugs. That will help me see that if I'm on my way to addiction, I can make it out just like you did. I want to know if you thought you were better than everybody else and you had a judgmental spirit and that caused you to lose friends and family members, so that I'll be able to see myself in you and make a change. I want to know if, woman, you were a whore and it was your name and number. I said whore and it was your name and number scribbled on the bathroom door, so I can know that if I'm promiscuous right now, if I'm giving it up to every Tom, Dick, and Harry right now, that God can clean me up just like he cleaned you up. He can wash me just like he washed you. But if you don't tell me, I don't know. Don't you know that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? Somebody ought to scream out, Nakayo! I am a conqueror because I'm willing to confess. But not only that, but you also need to confess that you struggle even now, even though you're saved and you have Christ on the inside of you. You ought to tell somebody right now, look at them and tell them, I struggle right now. I go through right now. I got issues right now. I get tempted right now. You ought to tell somebody. Most non-believers and non-churchgoers stay away from us because we all seem so spooky and unrelatable, and it seems like our doo-doo don't stink and we never go through anything. But somebody needs to admit that you go through even though you're saved, that you got problems even though you're saved, because when we admit it, we make room for the glory. You might suffer for a little while, but God shall bring a future glory that'll make everything all right. Somebody scream out, Nakayo! I am a conqueror. Let me tell you, you got to go through something to get to something. And you can't be scared to tell your story. Some of us use little cute stories. I'll make y'all feel better. I use a little cute story. I tell you about the caterpillar. Anybody know about the caterpillar? Caterpillar go into his little cocoon, and he start getting in his little cocoon. And after a while he in his little cocoon, he does some growing, because he doing some eating. But you can't just feed and not get out and get uncomfortable and grow and expand and become something else. You're not just supposed to eat and grow and not change. Hello, somebody. So if you're eating and you're growing, you can change. But what's happening in the cocoon, it's not some glorious experience. And when we see it in the books and when we see the video, we're like, oh, that is so glorious and that is so cute. No, that caterpillar is saying, this is uncomfortable for me. I don't want to be here. I don't know what's happening to me right now. I can't explain it, but I don't know. I don't want to be here anymore. Today, I'm sad. Yesterday I was depressed, and I feel like I just want to break out of here, but I can't. And after a while, the chains come off, the cocoon is broken, and when that caterpillar comes out, he comes out flying, he comes out swinging, he comes out changed, all because he went through some suffering. The verse said that after you suffer for just a little while, you can come out changed, different, experiencing some glory. But if you don't tell nobody, we don't know. There's a frustration that comes along with, there's so much of this I'm not going to get to, praise the Lord. There's a frustration that comes out of us when we're going through, and the Bible speaks to it. Look at verses 18 through, if you have it, you can just listen if you don't. Verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Y'all see that butterfly coming out? For the creation was subjected to frustration. What other words y'all got in there? Frustration, futility, feeling like all that I'm doing is in vain. Frustration, just being antsy, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it to them. You blaming the devil get blamed for a whole lot of stuff. But I want you to know that God has got you uncomfortable right now because he wants to make you better. He wants to make you different. He wants you to be a conqueror, but the only way you can be a conqueror is you gotta fight in a battle and you gotta make it to the other side to be victorious. It said that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage, brought into freedom and the glory of the children of God. We've got to confess. And let me tell you, when you confess, sometimes you don't even know what to say. You don't even know what's going on because it's not always something that you have done. But remember, you can suffer for Christ's name's sake. You can suffer just so the glory of God can be revealed in your life. We talked about that at the women's retreat. And so the idea that sometimes you don't know what's going on, you can't think of nothing you done did or said to nobody, and you are going through. Look at verse 26. You don't even know what to pray for. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Let me tell you, when you don't know what's going on, you've got to lean on the one who does. You've got to look up to the hills from whence cometh your help, and know that your help comes from the Lord. But you've also got to talk about it. You better not be afraid of counseling. You better not be afraid of an accountability partner. You ought to tell somebody I'm going through and I need your prayers. I may not know what to pray, but you can be my intercessor. And when there's no one around, thank God for Jesus, who is on the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. Confession. Confession. In order to conquer, we gotta confess. And listen, this is the last one. In order to be a conqueror, we've gotta confess all that we're going through, what we've been through, what we got delivered from, and what we're going through right now. And then we've got to confront. We've got to confront. In order to be a conqueror, you've got to confront some stuff. Girl, you did me some good. Fight your battles. Yes, he will. But you got to stand there and let him do it. The Bible says, stand still and see the salvation. Well, you got to be standing there in order to see the salvation. Hallelujah. So look, it says confront. Look at verses 31. Verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? All this good news that he will be there for us, and he's all of these things to us. And if we live by the Spirit, we are of the Spirit, and we shall live eternally. What do we say to all of these things? Now that we've established that it's who God is and who we are in him and who we are not in him. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Somebody's getting a little cojones now. You're getting a little confidence and a little attitude. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up. Even God allowed himself to go through something so that we could have the victory. He gave up his only son. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Verse 33 says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Now you're just looking for a fight. Come on here now. Now I was a little afraid. I was a little timid. I was trying to put my church face on before. I wasn't ready to confess. And then I let you know I got issues. I got stuff going on. I got stuff just like you got stuff. Wait a minute. You got stuff too? Oh girl, we can fight this fight together. Come on. Come on. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Because Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness? No. Or danger? No. Or sword? No. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now we're saying we realize we've got to fight in the battle in order to conquer. So come on with it, devil. What you got? Put up your best shot. Come on. You can give me all you got, because I believe that I'm not fighting this battle by myself, because my Bible tells me greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I am an overcomer. I am a conqueror. Somebody say Nakayo. So I'm closing, because I usually take 5 hours. I didn't take 5 hours this time. See there? but I want to tell you, after you have confessed and you're ready to confront, that's all you have to do. You just got to stand. After you have done all, just stand. Just stand. You're ready to confront all that you're dealing with, and you're not ashamed anymore. That was who I am, but that's not who I am anymore. I am a new, and every day my flesh dies daily so that I can become a new. There are brand new mercies every day out here, and every day you above ground is another opportunity for you to receive the grace and the mercy of God. But listen, listen. I've been telling y'all, Nakayo, y'all can say it again, Nakayo. Nakayo. And that does mean conqueror, but that doesn't match with the text. Look at verse 37. Verse 37 says, no, in all these things, we're not just Nakayo, we are Hooper Nakayo. We are, somebody ought to say Hooper Nakayo. We're not just conquerors. We are Hooper Nakayo. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That means you can be a conqueror by definition. You can know what it means to be a conqueror. You can go to school and study. You can open up the dictionary and study what it means to be a conqueror. But when you are more than a conqueror, you have yourself been in the battle. You have yourself been in the fight. You have yourself had the bruises to show for it. And you yourself are coming out on the other side, still praising God, still loving God. You're broken, but you're not bent. You're here, you're still here. And you cried your tears, but you're wiping your eyes now. You are on the floor, but now you're crawling. You were crawling, but now you're walking. You were walking, but now you got some running going on. And some of y'all got some more hooping the kayo that you're not just running, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. They shall mount up. They shall mount up on wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Verse 37 says, no, in all these things, we are hooping the coyote through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, now I can say it with confidence, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else, all creation will be able to separate me. Anybody know you can't be separated now? You've been through too much. He's done too much for you to separate you. Listen, hooping the coyote, and I'm closing. It's like being a mama. You know the word. All of us know what a mother is, right? All of us know what a mother is. But until you are a mother, I mean, until you've done the whole gamut, right? You become a hooper mother. Y'all with it? You become a hooper mother because you go through tears in labor. And then you go through tears when they do good things and accomplish things, tears of joy. And then when they get on your last nerve, you go through tears of sorrow. You become a hooper mother because you go through something to embody and embrace that word. I don't want you to just be a conqueror. I want you to be more than a conqueror. I don't just want Nakayo for you. I want you to experience Hooper Nakayo. So if there is anybody in here who knows Jesus from what somebody else said, you know Jesus because of what you hear on Sundays or what you've read, but you don't know him in the pardon of your sins. I want you to experience a personal relationship, because the truth of the matter is you're going to go through either way. But you're either going to go through with him or without him. So if you don't know Jesus, I want you to come. I don't want you to hesitate. I don't want you to think about it. I want you to come to the altar. We will meet you. I will stand with you at the altar. I'll stand right with you. I also want you to come. Go ahead and come. I'm looking for you. I'm waiting for you. I also want you to come if you are saved and you have Jesus on the inside and you have known in your head that you are a conqueror. You have known by reading your Bible that you are a conqueror. You have said it out of your mouth, I am a conqueror. You have had all the right language. You have done all the right things. But in your heart of hearts, you know that you still have not embraced that victory, because what has happened is in the midnight hour when nobody is watching, when there is no camera, when there are nobody looking at you, that's when you know how much of a conqueror you really are. Do you cry in the midnight hour because you don't have the victory that you speak so eloquently of? I don't want you to leave here. I don't have time for fake and phony. I'm all about being authentic and transparent and real and sincere. And if I have to start with me like I did in this sermon and tell you it has not been that way for me always, let it begin with me. Is there anybody who wants wants to experience some Hoopa Nakayo in here today, come to this altar and let us pray for you. We're waiting for you. I want you to be more than a conqueror. I want you to be able to look back and not regret time. Come on, baby. I want you to be able to look back and not regret time wasted. I could have been on the other side, but I'm still defeated. I'm still down. I want victory over top of victory. Thank you for being brave, baby. Thank you.